The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And indeed, I'm Pastor Sanders, and tonight, being Friday night on this December 3rd, 2021, we have my two highly regarded intellectual giants and sought-after co-hosts, John Holman and John McTernan. Gentlemen, are you ready to dazzle my audience with absolute brilliance?
We're ready to rumble, Pastor Ernie.
That's the same thing. All right. Okay.
But you made a mistake again. The show isn't even a minute old.
Oh. Oh, no, here we go again.
Okay, go ahead, get it done.
You were giving all these accolades, and then you said John Holman and John McTernan.
Oh.
Rightly so. Age, oh no, wait, I'm sorry. It is age before beauty.
So, hey, Pastor Ernie, I was thinking we should, because we have talked about it off and on, but we should start with prayer.
You're not going to believe this is exactly what I was just thinking this. We really need to start with prayer tonight. Last night, by God's grace, we didn't have any problems that I know of. So why don't you, John McTernan, lead us in a prayer, and both of you fellows pray for to keep us on the air, because we got a lot of things that the opposition does not want us to get out tonight, for sure. So go ahead, John, lead us out.
Okay. Father, we, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that we can speak truth here, and the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Lord, the America can only be, I'm going to use the word saved, by the truth. So we thank you, and we minister today, or tonight, I should say, under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us at the cross on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Father, we are so grateful for this time. We're grateful for the opportunity to present truth. We ask now that every word that we say is directed by your Holy Spirit, and that people hear the truth, and the truth shall set them free now. So be with us. Protect the broadcast from all interference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, unless you change it, I'll be preaching on Sunday on the topic, Has God Said, and It Is Written? Those two topics, because we want to take a look at some of the things that's happening that are prevalent today, things that we're living with and current events. For example, as we get into tonight's message, you know, God gave us natural herbs. All through the Bible here, God gave us natural herbs for the healing, for our healing, for our medicine. It's called the apothecary. The devil brought along pharmakia, which is witchcraft. And this is what Big Pharma is giving us. Big Pharma is giving us what the witchcraft is. It. Now, there are those, and what has happened with satanic, ungodly organizations like the Rockefeller Foundation and that who made it to where they gave Big Pharma, they made it virtually illegal in so many cases for actual real doctors like the fellow we had on here last night that have cures for things, cures, actual real medicine. No, they make them out to be, they can't practice. They can't, in so many states they can practice, but they really can't. They're not a part of the AMA, the Medical Association. They made these things just to be able to try to make it very, very difficult for people to actually heal people. And so we're going to take a look at Lord's Willing on Sunday, what God has given us and what the government has done to us. So what do you think, John and John?
Man, that sounds real interesting, Pastor Ernie. I mean, that's the message for today. There is a whole, Pastor Ernie, it's a long story, but I've come down to call the modern medical institutions here in the United States the Babylonian health system, separate from God's health system.
It really is. Well, let's start tonight. The title of the message was, Let Us Hear the Conclusion of the Whole Matter. And that was out of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So we're going to pick it up where we left off tonight. And we're going to pick it up first going over to Hebrews chapter 13. And would you men read, starting with verse 4 through verse 7, 4 through 7.
Okay, Hebrews chapter 13, starting at verse 4.
Right.
Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation.
All righty, so here now we go back. Marriage is honorable in all. What is marriage?
The joining of a man and a woman as one.
Okay, so where did we get the institution of marriage, and amongst the institutions that God has given us, where is it the first or is it the last?
The first, Pastor Ernie, it's in Genesis chapter 2. He instituted marriage before the fall of man.
So here, when God gave us that, that's the very first divine institution, marriage in the family. Marriage in the family is what God gave us. Now, did he give us a definition? The Lord Jesus later on gives a definition, okay? But did he give a definition of marriage?
Yeah.
Okay, and that is?
Two shall become one.
It's the union of one man and one woman in God for one lifetime. Now, so God gives us that definition. He says this, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So now, what definition did God give us for what they call, what the government gave us, what was called same-sex marriage, what the government gave us? What definition did God give what they call same-sex marriage?
Whoremongering.
Whoremongering, that would fit, okay, but the very first thing, the very first time that sodomy is referred to, it's referred to as an abomination. An abomination. There's a woman who's been on PMSNBC, and she's been saying the stench of reversing Roe v. Wade, the stench. Now, let me tell you what the stench is. The old Jewish definition of abomination is the stench of rotting flesh in the nostrils of a holy God. And so here, let me tell you, there's a stench of death on that woman and all of those so-called feminists, pro-death feminists. They have the stench of death on them, okay? Now, that's what God's Word, the Bible says, the Word of God. See, God says they're unclean. And so here, that's going back again to what God has said compared to what God has given us, what God has said, and what the world is saying out there. Now, so we go to the next verse. Let your conversation be without covetousness and content with such things as you have. Well, wait a minute here. Joel Osteen says we shouldn't be content with what we have. We should always want more. We should always want more. I mean, look at Bill Gates and look at George Soros and Warren Buffett, who's given like $270 million for abortion. Aren't they happy with all of what they have?
No. No, they're not. They always want more. It's kind of, was it John D. Rockefeller? He was asked how many dollars are enough, right?
Yeah.
And his answer was just $1 more.
Always, yeah. Okay, so here now.
Ernie, the scripture says that hell is never full.
Yeah, it says that her mouth is open wide too, huh?
Yeah, that's from Proverbs.
Yeah.
So it's never full, never. And I think that's a pretty good answer. You always want one more. They always want one more.
Okay, so now look, why then? I mean, won't all that money make you happy? I mean, Solomon said, "Money answereth all things." I mean, isn't there money there? Look, he says this. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what God says. Okay, now, but do they need God if they've got all that money? Does Joel Osteen need God? Does Warren Buffett need God? I mean, Bill Gates? I mean, look, they can buy whatever they need, can't they?
At peace with God. They can buy material things.
George Soros said he is a God. And you know, so does Obama.
Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
Pastor Ernie, I've seen Soros say that, I think it was on 60 Minutes he said it, and it was years back, and it's still hard for me to accept that he really said it. In this interview, I am a God. And it wasn't a joke. I mean, you talk about delusions of grandeur and all. It's frightening that these people think like that.
Well, if you remember that interview, he was asked, do you believe in God? He says, I don't believe in a God. Then he said, I am a God. Okay. A double-minded man is unstable in how many of his ways?
All.
Okay. But, you know, I found out that he's not the only one that's done that. A number of these people like him have made the same. Remember that great, brilliant mind, Nietzsche? Remember how Nietzsche said he cursed God for making him so brilliant, for giving him such a great intelligence that he felt he had a responsibility to the common man to help them in their misery. And remember Nietzsche said, to the common man, to the proletariat, that God that has for so long has tormented you, my brethren, is now dead. But the reality is that God's alive and well. It's Nietzsche that's dead, isn't he?
Yeah, and he didn't die a nice way, Pastor Ernie.
Oh, I know. He was put on display by his sister.
That, you know, it's interesting, Pastor Ernie. I never heard that part about Nietzsche talking about he had trouble with God because God made him so intelligent.
Yeah, I have these quotes.
Yeah, and because how did he die, Pastor?
His sister put him on display there in Europe, where you had that was legal. What they would do is they would take people that had mentally ill people or people that were criminally insane, and they would put a bunch of them in a room and charge people to watch them to act like animals.
Yeah, so at the end, his mind completely disintegrated, this bragging about what type of mind he had. And I know, well, we know what caused that. Are you aware, Pastor Ernie, what caused his mind to go?
Sin, but...
He had advanced syphilis.
Syphilis, yeah.
Yeah.
And
so there you go. He started off with this exaltation of himself, and he ended up mindless, like an animal.
I believe that's what Al Capone died of.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of proof about Lenin died of it, and so did Hitler.
Hmm. Well, let's go here. Now, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What's the worst thing man can do unto us?
Kill us.
Okay.
Yeah, destroy the body.
Can man take our salvation away?
No.
Okay.
They cannot kill the body and soul. The soul and spirit.
So they can only kill the body. Can they do that if God doesn't allow it?
No.
Okay, so they can only do that if God allows it. And if God allows it, that means what? It's time to take us home, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely 100% correct.
Okay, so he says this, remember them which have the rule over you, and who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. John, read verse 17.
Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
So who are these people that have the rule over us? Are they politicians or bureaucrats?
No.
So who's he referring to?
The elders.
The elders. Okay, now, at this time, when he was writing this, this book, Hebrews, was written to the Jews, huh? And in verse 7, it refers to the elders of the past, the prophets there. And then 17, it refers to those of the contemporary, those that are here now. Okay, so now he's making this point. So when, who was it that the kings of that day were to go to and say, what saith the Lord God? Okay, in other words, they were to go to who? To Samuel? They were to go to Nathan?
The prophets.
They were to go to the prophets, and say, what saith the word of God? And then the prophet would tell them, this is what God says, and then they were to obey whatever the prophet told them. Now, so first of all, how do we know today? First of all, we have prophets today, but how are they different from the prophets of old?
Well, the prophets of old, Pastor Ernie, received from the Lord in visions and dreams, and they spoke the word of God that was, well, we have it written, Pastor Ernie, that it came directly from the Lord.
So the prophets of old were foretellers. Today we have forth tellers. In other words, we have prophets, men of God that are men of God that hold to and they preach the word of God, okay?
Yes, exactly.
And so if we want a good example of that, if we go over to Hebrews chapter 1, and we read in Hebrews chapter 1 very quickly, okay? God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, this is verse 17 in Hebrews, this is what it's applying to, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So the word of God, this King James Bible that I have right here, these are the very words that the Lord Jesus said would never pass away. And so when we preach this, well, how do I know? I mean, if I'm a lay person and I'm sitting out there and I'm listening to a preacher preach, how do I know that he's preaching the word of God?
Because you study the scriptures and you verify what he's saying according to the word of God.
So you go right there, right along with him to make sure he's not twisting and perverting as they do today, so, you know. For example.
More noble for doing that.
All right. So if we go back to verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. So we are to be looking forward, concentrating on placing up crowns in eternity, not gathering things here on earth. Now, T.D. Jake says, no, I want my stuff now. I want my stuff now. I don't want to wait to get to heaven. Joel Osteen says, you need to live the good life now. You need to live the good life now. Now, but they're drawing huge audiences, and they make a lot of money by preaching this prosperity message to people out there. And do you think those out there that are listening to them have any idea at all what the Word of God actually teaches?
No, I don't think so, Pastor Ernie. And because this leads in. You just said something I wanted to bring up. Look at verse 7. Look at the end of verse 7. Considering the end of their conversation or their behavior. Their behavior.
Absolutely.
So if we don't blindly follow someone because they say they're a pastor, let's say, if their behavior doesn't match the Word of God, then we're to disregard them. They have to walk the walk, Pastor Ernie.
So let me ask you this. I mean, this is here back in the Hebrews talking about 2,000 years ago. Okay, I had a fellow tell me one time that he doesn't have to go to church because he listens to the preachers on the radio or television, and the Lord Jesus didn't know about television back then. What do you think?
A few minutes.
I'm not kidding you. I had a fellow. Okay. So God is immutable. What does that mean? God is immutable.
He does not change.
So what he says then applies for today.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's jump over very quickly to James chapter 4 and read me verses 13 through 17. James 4, 13 through 17.
Okay, I'll pick up with 13. James 4, 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain.
Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away.
For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that.
But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil.
Therefore him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Okay, so now what? So I mean, is it wrong? Doesn't the Bible teach us we're to have goals?
Well, we can make plans, Pastor Ernie, but we have to measure the cost of the plans, the Bible said, so we can finish the project.
Okay, so when he says, go to, say, today or tomorrow, into such a city, and continue there and buy and sell. Okay, so here he's making a point. We are to say the Lord's will. I mean, are we not to recognize that, you know, tonight, before we get off the radio program, all over this world, people are going to have their souls are going to be required of them, okay? Most of those people aren't planning on dying at all. So he's telling us that we should, because it's God that decides what we're going to do, so we need to say if it's the Lord's will, Lord's willing, right?
Right. Yeah, well, and that's
right. If your plans, you know, don't match up with God's word, first off, then your plan's no good to begin with.
All right.
And then,
yeah, and you know, Pastor Ernie, there's a little more to this. What that person, whoever, I know that that's like just giving an example in verse 13, but that's not what godliness is. We are to bring the Lord into everything we do. And that's not what that verse 13 says. The Lord is not in that. Someone is just living their business life separate from God in their life. And we're to bring everything we do, God is to be involved in, Pastor.
So then when Governor Cuomo says that he was the one that brought down the spread of the COVID-19, it wasn't God and it wasn't prayer. So what do you think God had to say about that?
Well, is he in office now? Is Cuomo in office, Pastor Ernie?
No.
Has he been disgraced?
Yeah.
What about his brother?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
And you
don't have, it's amazing, Pastor Ernie, that man is, well, he's got the blood of the aborted babies on his hands for what he did in New York.
And thousands and thousands of elderly.
How many, Pastor Ernie? How many? I heard 15 to 20,000.
Yeah.
His written decree there caused 15 to 20,000 elderly to die.
Okay, hold on 1 minute. Yeah, we're going to, when I'm finished here, we're going to just go to that clip we had to play there. So just hang right there, Craig. And now he says this very quickly. He says, what is your life? It's even but a vapor that appeareth even for a little time and vanishes away. What does he mean by our life is a vapor?
Well, a vapor is here and it's gone. The wind blows and it's gone. And that's the way our life is. It's here and it could, you know, death could come and the person's gone. Just like,
but isn't it referring to the amount of time that we live 70 compared to eternity?
Right, yeah. That's part of it, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, when you get older, and I've noticed that both of you aren't spring chickens anymore. When you get older, you notice that time seems to be passing much quicker, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we see that. Okay. Now, he says this, the verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Now, what if people say, well, look, I would never, ever consider an abortion, but I'm not going to interfere with anyone that would. What does the Bible say about that?
That's wrong.
The Bible says we're to rescue those being led to slaughter and drawn to death. We're to do whatever we can do to save those babies, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that apply to the elderly, too?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So now Jesus preached more on A, sins of commission, or B, sins of omission.
I really don't know, Pastor Ernie.
Well, a good example would be if you go over to Matthew chapter 25, and when he speaks to the righteous and he speaks to the unrighteous, what he did, he rewards the righteous, okay, for sins of commission, and what does he preach on? He judges those on the left. He judges the Democrats, those on the left, for sins of omission, sins of omission. In other words, when they failed to feed the hungry, they failed to house the homeless, they failed, okay, to visit those in prison. When they do the things they're doing today, when they not only fail, but being both sins of omission and commission out there today. And so, with that, I'm going to play a little clip. Now, in this clip, I'm going to keep my mic live because it's going to, a lot of this, the folks out there can't, they're not going to be able to see. It's actually a video, but what it's talking about is why are so many healthy young people suddenly collapsing? And in this video, I mean, it's got a litany. It goes down and shows you all kinds of athletes, football players, basketball players, tennis players. And so we're going to play this clip, and then as it goes along, I'll kind of explain to the people what's coming up in this video. But go ahead and play the clip.
A Baker County High School senior is in the hospital after collapsing on a tennis court.
Breaking new details on the deaths of a high school soccer player.
Finland, Denmark star man Christian Eriksen collapsing towards the end of the first half.
The Kennedy High community mourning tonight after one of their high school football players died.
A South Carolina high school football player has died after collapsing at football practice.
Star college basketball player collapsing on the court. We want to warn you, the video may be difficult to watch.
Florida Gators star Giontae Johnson collapsing during the game.
A West Catholic high school student has died after collapsing during a football scrimmage.
On mile 8, she suddenly felt fuzzy and blacked out.
17-year-old Ryan Jacobs' heart stopped.
Unexpectedly collapsed on the field.
Megan went into cardiac arrest.
Collapsing during Friday night's football game.
What I'm watching right now, there, John Downey, cricketer, 24, dies. Okay, 18-year-old Hungarian football player collapsing on the field. Here, another football player collapse. Here, I mean, I'm showing player after player after
player. The reason for his collapse is unknown.
The reason why Manny collapsed in the first place still isn't known.
Dies after collapsing. Okay.
So you might be wondering how someone in such great shape could suffer cardiac arrest.
It's a rare thing that happens.
Got two heart attacks in a few hours. Player suffered a double cardiac. Emily Pallison football collapses. The story of that. So I'm watching here. Different clips of different athletes.
The coroner says the condition is rare.
The age of 13. It goes on now. I'm seeing some referees that are refs.
It's just one of those tragedies.
Suburban Philly. Let's see. I'm looking here. Again, more football players. Chester County sports manager.
Did she have any signs before this race?
Absolutely not. She felt like she was in the best shape of her life.
That's incredible.
Marathon runner Alexander Gottes. Here's one dies. A football player. Another. Most of these are football players that are dying, but now you have basketball players. I'm looking. Soccer player, Draper. Major League Baseball, Villa. Okay. Now, all of these people died, and go ahead and cut it, because now all of these people died, but it's a mystery, John and John, that all of these young athletes are dying, and they shouldn't be, because they all had the COVID shot. They all had the the vax, and so, but nobody can figure out, John, why they're all collapsing. And these,
today I had a real world experience. I talked to a man, absolutely 100% reliable. I know him, and he knows two people that he has acquaintance with. They both, the man and the woman, middle aged, got the jag the very next day, and they're healthy. Very next day, the husband's dead, and she is having adverse reactions. And one of his relatives, a very young girl, got the jag, and she's going to be on heart medication the rest of her life. This is absolutely true, 100% reliable, related to today.
All right, let me read you this here. Fully vaccinated account for 9 out of every 10 COVID-19 deaths since August, according to the latest official data. Why are governments worldwide coordinating in lockstep with each other to violate and remove the basic human rights of the non-vaccinated population when official data shows the fully vaccinated account for 6 in every 10 cases, 7 in every 10 hospitalizations, and 9 in every 10 COVID-19 deaths since August? Why aren't we hearing about that? Do you think possibly, fellows, that the fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, PMS, NBC, that they're all in lockstep and they're all in a part of this conspiracy, okay, which we've been telling people, you know, we've been telling them for years, this is the depopulation movement right now. It's happening. And still it's like, ho-hum, we can't figure out why all these young people are dying. There's a thing called myocarditis. let me read you a little bit about this very quickly, okay? Here. Bombshell, mRNA vaccines dramatically increase inflammatory markers linked to acute coronary syndrome, okay? New research published in the journal Circulation reveals that Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccines trigger systematic inflammation in the body, leading to acute coronary syndrome, known as ACS, and other heart problems. Now, you're not supposed to know this, folks out there. So when you run into those relatives and those people you know that have got the vax, okay, tell them that, here's something you're not supposed to know, so you don't know this, okay? Researcher Stephen R. Gundry and his team used the Pulse cardiac test, clinically validated measurement of multiple protein biomarkers that generate a 5-year risk prediction for ACS, okay? And the score is based on changes from the norm of multiple protein biomarkers, or biomarkers, including the IL-16, a prion inflammatory cytokine, soluble fast, an inducer of apoptosis, hepatocyte growth factor, okay, which serves as a marker for chemotaxis of T cells with, I wish you were reading this, John, epithelium and cardiac tissues, among other markers, the study shows. So it goes on to what we've been telling people all along, that now Israel's finding out. Do you know what Iran is discovering? You know, because Iran, recently you had another one of their top generals say that their goal is still to totally eradicate Israel. Well, all Iran has to do is just sit back and wait, because what's happening, if that government over there, if that president keeps doing what he's doing, they're going to kill off all the young soldiers, all the young men. With this heart problems with these vaccines. In fact,
there's a disproportion of males dying to women compared to women.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. And it's way, way disproportional, Pastor Ernie, because this here seems to really hit the males harder than the females.
Well, let me just Now, you're talking about the microchondritis, because all over, with all of the other symptoms on the overhaul, it's actually the opposite. Actually, more women are dying than men, but the heart problem is reaching the young men by far more than the women. Yes. So it's killing them.
Yes. By far. Yes.
Yep. And so here, it's just unbelievable what's happening out there today. And so,
you know, Pastor Ernie, I'd like to bring this to the attention of our listeners. I follow the news like you do and like John does, and I have a blog and I report on it. So I'm coming up, that little, I guess you call it a collage that you just shared with all those heart attacks and all. That is only, if it's ever covered, it's really locally. These are happening, like, you, I don't know how many you mentioned there. Maybe there was 50. No one knows about it nationally. It's not a word. So it's being suppressed. Now, back in the day when I was growing up and you were growing up, Pastor Ernie, well, of course, you're way older than me, but
right.
You know, it was very rare, very, very rare to hear of a high school player playing basketball and just die on the court, you know, or football player. Maybe it was a head injury or something that happened. Well, I remember overheating. My coach in particular was an idiot. I don't know why half our team didn't die of a heat stroke, but that happened. But this here is all going after the heart. You see, and it's right now there should be national headlines if this is legitimate. You know, 100 basketball players and football players have died at in high school and in college of heart attacks, or in addition, another 500 have heart symptoms now that they can't play. The numbers are getting very high, but it's all being suppressed. So our listeners aren't aware of this, Pastor Ernie. This is a phenomenon across the country. Not only across the country, but in Europe, the number of soccer players that have just running down the field and keeled over and died, or they had to revive them with oxygen and fly with a helicopter off the field, it's phenomenal, Pastor Ernie, what's happening. It's all being suppressed, folks. You don't hear it. It's getting prominent now. You don't hear it because the media is in on this. They are criminals. This is part of the death. This is a death shot, Pastor Ernie. This is not only for the pharmaceuticals to make a lot of money. They are after depopulating the world.
Absolutely. And I have another clip and where you had these people, Fauci and his cohorts, talking about, this is in 2019, we got to get this thing moving. We got to keep the people afraid. Craig, do you have that little clip there? It's only about a seven. No, it's about, it's a couple minute one. It's with Fauci. I'm trying to think of what that 17 second one was. Okay. It's about, oh no, not that one. No, there's another one. Of course, yeah, we've played that one where he said it'll be a surprise outbreak time and time again. There's one with where you have these people, Fauci and those people from the CDC, and they're having a meeting and they're talking about how they're going to have to put fear into the people. They got it so that they can push these vaccines. They got to get people to go for the vaccine. We got it scared. Okay, let me tell you what I can do here on that, because I think I can, if I can go back down, I'll find it here and just tell you which one it was very quickly, I think. But anyhow, I think we've played that once before too, John. So maybe I don't have to go there. But let me move on to this then. Because I know I don't have time to find it. This guy Fauci is a monster. He's a monster, okay? And here's an article right here. Fauci runs secret island of monkeys to conduct cruel animal experiments to enrich Big Pharma. You heard what he was doing with the puppies and the children, not the babies, but the children. Of course, you know what they did to the babies. And we have that, too, to test what Pfizer did, making sure the babies were cut open alive. They pay these women to deliver their babies alive, and then they remove their organs while they're alive without anything for pain because they can't pollute. They don't want any of the organs to be contaminated. These people are monsters and beasts. They're monsters and beasts, okay? And so here, government doctor, monster, Dr. Tony Mengele Fauci has once again been exposed for torturing and murdering innocent animals as a part of his mad scientist experiments. New documents obtained via Freedom of Information Act request brought to light a secret island of monkeys operation run by Fauci for the purpose of disease research. Morgan Island, South Carolina, is one of the locales where Fauci sends American taxpayer dollars to scientists. These are mad scientists, okay, to conduct excruciating experiments on rhesus monkeys. The monkeys originated from Morgan Island off the coast of Beaufort, South Carolina, are acquired and owned by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, report Great Game India. It was Justin Goodman, Vice President of Advocacy, the public policy for the White Coat Waste Project, who obtained the documents revealing this horror, which is being bankrolled by American taxpayers without their knowledge. According to the document, Fauci's NAID spent some $13.5 million on the experiments at Morgan Island, which involved intentionally injecting rhesus monkeys with all kinds of deadly infectious diseases, such as Lassa and Ebola. These diseased injections resulted in the monkeys experiencing extreme pain, brain damage, loss of motor control, organ failure, hemorrhaging, and a host of other serious health problems. Believe me, people like Fauci would have no problem at all, or Gates, doing that to everyone who's a Christian, believe me.
Pastor Ernie, they did the same thing to babies and youngsters in New York City that had AIDS, and they were abandoned, and no legal representation, no anything. They just tried all experiments on them, and a lot of the kids died during the tests. A lot of them died shortly after the tests. Completely unethical. They were treating them just like, you know, unproven. They were experiments, which is against the Geneva Convention. The kids had no rights. And that's been documented going back into the 1990s. He was doing that.
Yeah, I know. And see, we have to get this out because, you know, I kept hearing today they were talking about, again, Tucker and others were talking about how China is a rising. China is America's greatest threat. It's not. The Democratic Communist Party here in America is the greatest threat. They are our worst enemy. They are the enemy from within. Our enemy, if you are an American, I'm not talking about simply being a U.S. citizen. You can be a U.S. citizen without being what I consider a true American. If you're a true American, and if you're an actual real Christian, then the entire Democratic mob is your number one enemy. They are right from the pit of hell, right from the pit of hell. Go ahead, John.
Well, Fauci was all upset today because his Fox News show host, Laura Logan, compared him to Dr. Mengele.
So I've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, well, if you look at what Mengele did with his experimentation, the amount of people that he killed, Fauci essentially has done the same thing and is probably, oh, not probably, is responsible for more deaths than Mengele. So maybe it was doing a disservice to Mengele. So,
yeah.
You know, he's got a track record, Pastor Ernie, and we've gone over it multiple times, but from AIDS to Ebola, Now, to this virus, he does the same thing, and he has no compunction at all about experimenting on animals or humans. None at all. And he knows that there's failures, but he's got to get that pharma money. He has to get that money. So
yeah, that's what that clip I was telling you about.
Self. Yeah.
Talked about, that's what they're talking about. We've got to be able to get that money, and that's why we've got to make them afraid. We've got to say the right thing. We got to blow this thing up. We got to scare them. And this is him with his people at the CDC and others, you know, discussing them. And I'm looking, because we have a little clip, and maybe during the break I'll find that clip and we'll play it. It's just a few minute clip, but it's of them there. And I'm looking for it even as we're talking now. But let me just switch over here for a minute to another article, and that is this one here with Robert Kennedy Jr. This guy, he's really, I got to say that he has been doing a tremendous job for years on building the totalitarian state. This is Armageddon. This is a final battle. We need to win this one. He says, James Corbett argued, we are in the fight for our life. We are the most profound peril towards human liberty that we have seen in our lifetime. He goes on to say, Robert Kennedy Jr. responded, I will go even further than you just went. I think this is historical jeopardy to humanity than we've ever seen before. We've seen the Black Plague, World War II, arguably rivals for it. I would argue that this is the worst thing that's ever happened to humanity, because the essential ambition of the totalitarian state is to control not just conduct, but self-expression and thought. And for the first time in history, because of the technological revolution, the capacity for totalitarian forces to literally control every aspect of human expression and human thought is now unprecedented. He's talking about big tech. This is Armageddon. This is the final battle. We need to win this one. And he's right in everything he just said. We can't, okay? The people out there listening, it's that we still have time to push this thing back, but we got to move, and we got to move fast, don't we, fellas?
Pastor Ernie, we know things are real serious, like you're talking, because when you see Robert Kennedy Jr. on the Alex Jones show, you know. I mean, I'm serious about this. You know things are real serious, because Kennedy is desperate. There's a desperation on his part to get the information out, and most of the sources won't do it, but Alex Jones will. So he wants to get everybody to know what's going on. And now when you see Jones and Kennedy working together, you know how serious it is, Pastor.
Yeah, well, he's something even stranger than that. There are those on the left, the communists actually out there, that are actually getting out and marching in the protest against the forced vaxxed. There are those on the left that they don't trust to their own side at all. Okay?
I don't blame them, Pastor Ernie.
Hang tight, Joe. Fellas, we'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.